It just hasn't worked out that way. I mean, I haven't started a whole lot of games. Hoping to get the first one this weekend. I'm excited to be back in the league in front of our home fans. Right across the street from where I'm speaking right now, so I'm really excited.
Nick, you said yesterday that you didn't really know RG3 as a high school player. Did you know of him? You guys weren't, it's only like 70 miles apart, the two high schools. Did you know of him at all?
Texas is a big state. There's different divisions, 1A, 2A, 3A, 4A, 5A, and then there's different divisions between that. And so, I mean, I didn't really know a lot of other people. I've always just played, and obviously, he's made a name for himself, and he's a heck of a player and a heck of a person. So, but there's a lot of people in Texas, so.
we were talking the other day about
No, it was 513.
Is there anything, in all seriousness, did you do anything this past off season as far as fitness or in training to be faster? Do you feel like you are faster?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to, run a 4.3. I might run a 4.3.30, but it's not going to be anything, crazy. But, definitely, I worked on a lot of endurance, a lot of cross training, different things to pick up speed and explosion, and I'll continue to do that. I'll continue to work on foot speed and continue to excel in that. As I get older, that's what I'm hoping. That's what my goal is.
Nick, you may say you aren't so far. I mean, what would you say is the biggest thing that you've improved on over that time, or the biggest thing you've learned?
I think you just gotta trust your gut as a quarterback. And it's, like I've said, there's going to be times to fit the ball in a tight window, and there's going to be times to, play for the next play and maybe dump it down and be smart with the ball and keep the chains moving. So it's really just managing the game, managing the situations, the down and distance, where you are on the field, the time. And I think just with playing the game and, playing in those starts and getting the preseason games, game management's been huge.
Nick, what have you learned about Chip Kelly as a play caller from week one until now?
You never know what to expect with Chip. I love that he's aggressive, and then, he'll try to mix something in, to catch him off guard. And, I love his play calling, and, I'm getting used to it, continuing to excel, and we're, on the same page. Now it's in the point in the game where I know what he's going to call, and I know why he's calling it. So, that's good.
Nick, what kind of progress does a quarterback make getting all the, I know the game reps are obvious, but all the first team reps in practice the last few weeks, has that kind of helped you grow?
Just getting the rest of the guys on the field, see the different looks that we're going to expect, but, it usually doesn't work. In the game, they'll show you something different. But it's just seeing how the receivers are running their routes, feeling how the lines block and, stepping up in the pocket. And, you really just get the feel for how the guys are going to run, where they're going to be, how to throw them different balls. So it is huge getting the reps.
I know it's kind of a cliche, but do you feel like this is becoming your team now?
I don't really worry. I'm letting everything happen naturally. I'm not worrying about that. I feel confident out there. I know we all play for each other, and we just have to keep it going.
You guys ever talk about, you're sitting here 5-5. Ever talked about the playoffs, hey, this is what we have to do. Let's go do this. Or
we know that, hey, if we win, this game, it's going to put us in a great position, and that's all we worry about. And it's easy to start, overlooking, looking out in advance, but we've all learned that a long time ago. I know in Pop Warner, in high school, middle school, that they teach you, hey, this next game is the most important game. This is the championship game. And you have to treat every game like that because, you win this one and then you approach the next week the same. At the end of the season, you'll be in a good place.
You're watching the Redskins. How much time do you spend looking at week one when they game plan for Mike compared to the recent weeks?
I mean, it's all mixed in. I try to, we definitely look at that because that's our team. That's our personnel, how they wanted to come out and play us, but they've grown week to week, so you really just try to focus on their last couple games and see what they've been trying to do, and then you just try to break down the film in different scenarios and just study the scenarios of what they like to do. And their defensive coaches know that too. They know what they've done in the past, and they know that they're going to try to throw us off, so that's why it's so important to get a good idea with film of what they're going to do. But it's great to, when you're playing, you got to react, because you might be practicing zone all week and then all of a sudden you get out there and it's man coverage. Well, you got to be able to prepare for that, in practice, or just playing the what-if game in your mind.
Before follow up on that.
Is last year's tape useful too? I mean, you made two starts against Washington last year.
I don't go that far. I don't really look at it too much. It was a different game plan, different scheme that we were going with. So I just try to see what their personnel is. You know, they have different players, so I try to see what their personnel is, you know, lately. And, you know, there might be something, you know, a certain play or something crazy they did last year we'll find and be like, hey, just be ready for this. But other than that, not too much.
Nick, you talked about how Raleigh's baseball background has helped him a little bit. Do you think your basketball background helps you at all?
Yeah, for sure. I think my basketball background helps a lot because on a basketball court, there's design plays, but you have to make plays within those plays. And then you have fast breaks, different throwing lanes. So if it is a scramble drill, you see a lot of point guards like Chris Paul look one way and throw it the other. So you see how the eyes and the body can be so deceptive on the basketball court. And I just try to take that and use it on the football field. And, you know, it's something that I'm continuing to work on, try to, you know, translate my basketball playing ability to the football field.
Is there also something to be said for, I mean, basketball, you're making split-second decisions.
Yeah.
And in this kind of offense, you have to do the same thing. Is there something to that, too?
Yeah, I think there is correlations to, you know, each of the sports. And that's why, you know, when I speak to kids nowadays, it seems like everybody's trying to focus on one sport. And the greatest thing when you're a kid is playing every single sport you can. I play soccer, and I'm awful at soccer, but it was just fun to go out there and play and try to, you know, get good at it. And there's so many different skills with your footwork that you can develop doing soccer or basketball or, you know, tennis or anything. And that's why, you know, that's what I did as a kid. I was out there doing whatever I could.
You do seem to be using more pump fake or, you know, trunk twist, whatever you want to call it. Is that just something that you've gotten more comfortable doing in these 10 games, you know, from the first time that you started?
I think I'm just trying to naturally play and just naturally let my playing ability take over. And that's where the preparation comes in. You do all the thinking during the week so you can react during the game. And I don't plan a pump fake. It just sort of – I'll watch the film and just, you know, sometimes don't even realize I did a pump fake just because it's just a reaction to what's going on the field. So, you know, the key to a pump fake is you don't want to be late on the route you're trying to throw. But, you know, I'm just trying to work on those things.
Back in the last drive against Green Bay, obviously you guys scored a lot of points fast. How impressive was it to be able to sustain it that long when
I was what was it, 9 minutes and 32 seconds left? It was huge, especially in that situation at Lambeau Field. Our O-line did a great job of blocking. And you saw they knew we were going to run the ball and we were able to run it. So it was great for the O-line. It's just great for us as an offense to go out there and do that and just – march it all the way down the field and run the clock out. And, you know, that's huge. That's how you win games, because with the momentum going the way it was at that point in the game, it was sort of crazy with, you know, the one that was, you know, reviewed that could have been a touchdown catch, but it wasn't. You know, then my review when it was a fumble, stuff like that. There was a lot of stuff going on. So it sort of stopped the momentum and gave it back to us when we started marching.
On that drive, it seemed like you had a pretty important run, reserves. And that was the read option, I assume, right? You kind of pulled it out of McCoy's belly. Everybody was kind of keen, I guess, on Sean. Was that your decision at that time?
Yeah, it was my decision. I just saw green grass. I saw an opening, and I know in that situation, it goes back to game management, to where I saw the clock. I knew that, hey, you know, we don't have enough downs to run it out at this point, but if we get a first down right here, we do. So it's a huge play, and, you know, I saw the opening, took it, and I just wanted to make sure we got that first down to, you know, get rid of the clock.
Thank you
all.
It was 5-1-4, by the way.
Gotcha.